Amen. We serve a good God. We serve a marvelous, marvelous God. I don't know what type of week that you've had. I don't know if it's been a good week. I don't know if it's been a bad week, but it really doesn't matter because we serve a good God. We're going to talk today, and we've all heard it before, but we're going to talk about it again because that's the direction the Holy Spirit's leading us today is we're going to talk about the Word of God because there's some things that God places in our spirit that sometimes we need to recollect. Sometimes we need to go back and we need to stir up. We know that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that. We know that heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will abide forever. These things are things that we know and we that are deep-seated within us, but there are some things that we need to stir in and of ourselves. There are some promises that God has given each and every one of us as individuals, some hopes that we've not yet seen yet that He wants to stir so that we can see them come to pass. Some of you have got some answered prayers that you've prayed for 10, 15, 20 years, maybe even 5 years, and you haven't seen them answered yet. God's delay is not His denial. God is going to come through. Sister Ditter, could you give me some water, please? God's delay is not His denial. God is going to answer those prayers in God's specific ordained time. God's time clock is not like our time clock. Some of us have to be to work at 8 o'clock. Some of us have to be to work at 6 o'clock. God doesn't work like that. Thank you for the amen. God's time clock is different. A day, the Bible says, a day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is one day. So God's timing is a little bit different than ours. He's never late. Sure seems like it to us folks, but He's right on time. God's always on time. Always on time. I want to read this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 4, verses 1. To 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, The man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. We're going to live by every word of God. Isn't it amazing, the Word of God? We love it. We want to read about it. Isn't it amazing? Our enemy will come to us and try to twist it and try to tell us things like, well, you need to go ahead and do that because the Bible says so. We have got to rightly divide the Word of God according to the Scripture. We've got to know the truth so the truth can make us free and the truth can keep us free. The Bible says the Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We need to let this Word work in us. We need to let it manifest in our lives. We need to walk this Word out. That is the most difficult thing for a Christian, is to walk the Word of God out. We can run the aisle, we can speak in tongues, we can dance, but it's a whole nother story when we have to walk this Word out. We've got to walk this Word out. There are things you've prayed for that God wants to come to bring to pass in your life, but it's a timing issue. You might not be ready for the explosion that's going to happen in your life of God manifesting His presence, His power, and His goodness to you. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. See, when we pray, we sometimes expect God to answer right now. Right now, God, I need you to answer right now. And He says, I'm going to teach you patience. I'm going to hold back a little bit and let you sweat just a little while. Why? Because He's God. He can do that. We don't like it. But see, we got to understand one thing. We have His Word. He hasn't answered our prayers yet, but we have His Word on the situation. It doesn't matter what situation you're facing in your life right now. God's Word should be the most precious thing that you should hold viable. It doesn't matter what the doctor's report says. God's Word should be the utmost, highest priority in your life. God's Word should be the supreme in your life. There are many of you in here that have been in trouble, and God's delivered, and God's been faithful, and God has answered prayers. Even while you're out sinning and your parents are serving Jesus, God has answered prayers for you so that you could do things in your own life that you enjoy to do, because that's how good God is. Everybody thinks God's some flake, that God's some square in a box. He's not. He just loves us, and there's just a lifestyle that He wants us to live. There are things that I can't do because God loves me enough and tells me that I can't do them. And hey, it doesn't matter if I'm laughed at or talked about, because you know what? If I leave this place today and, God forbid, get in a horrible accident and pass away and leave my family, I'm going to heaven. Thank you for the amen. I'm going to heaven. See, that's where it's at for us, my brother and sister. We've got to know where we're going. We've got to go to heaven. The Bible says this about the Word of God. It's quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Whoever falls upon this Word can be saved. But whoever this Word falls upon, the Bible says, shall be ground to powder. See, we've got to understand that we've got to put our hope and faith in Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God according to the Scripture. And see, we get so far away from the Bible, we get so into tapes, we get so into personalities, we get so into doctrines, into teachings, we get away from the Bible. We get away from the simplicity of the fact that God said it, that should settle it, but it doesn't. There are fears that we have to overcome. There are trials, there are valleys that we have to go through because we have a flesh to deal with. But God's Word is true. God's Word is faithful. There are things in your life, and I'm going to read this in Luke 5, 1, verses through to 8. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, oh, that people would come and hear the Word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. I'm not going to stop right there. We're going to keep going. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. There are many of us in here. We have prayed for our loved ones. We have prayed for our sons. We have prayed for our daughters. We have prayed for healings. We want to see a financial miracle. We've toiled. We've wrestled all night. But nevertheless, at His Word, we need to pray again. We've gone out witnessing and we've seen no fruits from our witnessing. But we should say to our hearts, in our hearts, nevertheless, Lord, at Thy Word, we will pray again. We will seek again. We will go witnessing again because it's at His Word. It's not my word that says we need to go out witnessing. It's God's word that says we should be the light of the world. We should be a city set on the side of a hill that cannot be hid. So Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. See, too many times we get discouraged because we go out and we don't see nothing, and we forget the word of the Lord as we're going out. We forget that God told us to go out. We forget that God's Spirit's going to be with us. We forget that God is right there walking with us in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the storm. We forget His word, my brother and sister. But see, that's just it. We forget God. We forget Jesus. We forget that Jesus is carrying us through the storm. That is not your feet prints. That is not your footprints in the sand, my brother and sister. That is your Lord and your Master carrying you through the storm and through the valley and through the trial that you're going through. The Word is supposed to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I never once see in the Scripture where we're supposed to follow angels and take them at their word. Angels are to be judged by the Word of God. Prophecies to be judged by the Word of God. Everything hinges by the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will abide forever, the Scripture says. So there are things God has told you in your own hearts, in your own personal lives. There are things God has told you in your heart. And you thought that it was just you because you haven't seen it come to pass yet. You thought that, oh, I'm crazy. That's just me. That could never happen. Oh, it can happen, my brother and sister. And it will happen. But it's going to happen not in my timing, not in your timing, but in the timing of the Lord. See, the Bible says that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a virgin birth, Born of a virgin woman. It was in the fullness of time that God sent forth Jesus to be born. But it wasn't until that time. See, there was a time. There's a time in heaven to be saved. There's a time to praise. There's a time to seek God. There's a time under heaven. There's a season for everything. There's a fall. There's a winter. There's a summer. There's a timing involved, my brother and sister, in your life. And that timing hasn't happened yet, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Because we have His Word, my brother and sister. Isn't it amazing that they toiled all night? They were tired. They probably said to themselves, "He's crazy. Why are we going back out on this boat to let these nets down?" But they did it anyway because they knew there was something different about this man. Never a man spake like this man. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the rain obey him? So Peter knew something about this man called Jesus. So at Jesus' word, they go and they let the net down. They call their brethren. "Hey, Brother Mike, come help me. I've got to get this soul saved. We're witnessing to him. Brother Terry, come help me. See, I need prayer. Come help me. Come help me. I need prayer in this situation." See, we have a tendency to start and to stop and to start and to stop. And God wants us to just be faithful and keep going and keep going and be like the energy bunny and just keep praying and just keep seeking and just keep witnessing. Because why? Because after a while, we're going to see a great harvest. Thank you for the amen. I know that it's been a long time coming, but we're going to see a great harvest. That doesn't mean we're going to have 5,000 people in the church. That doesn't mean we're going to have 1,000 in the church. One soul is a great harvest. One life changed is a great harvest. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners. I'm going to add this, that they beckoned unto their brethren. Are they brothers in Christ, right? I don't think I'm going too far out of line saying they're brothers in Christ. I know there's people that are going to have a problem with that, but that's okay. Which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Could you imagine? I can imagine it because I like to fish. I can imagine fishing all night and Jesus saying, "Go back out there to such and such a spot and throw it on the right side of the boat. I fished on the left side all night long, but go throw it onto the right side." And throwing the net back out. I should have brought a cast net with me, but I didn't even think about that. But that's okay. I'm going to go on. Throwing the net out and bringing in the fish. And as soon as I throw the net in and the fish get in there, having to call Brother Alex over there in the back, say, "Alex, I need some help, son. Come help me." Calling Brother Mike. "Hey, Mike, Brother Terry, Brother Willie, come help me. Sister Ruth, come help me. Sister Pat, we need some help over here." See, it's all of us inclined together. They couldn't get the fish in the boats until they called their brothers and sisters. See, that's why we're entwined to another. That's why God's got a core group of people here. So that we can pray together. So that we can believe together. So that we can see God's manifestation come to pass. In God's timing. Notice I didn't say in my timing or our pastor's timing. But in the timing of God. We're going to see something. And there's probably things that are going on behind the scenes with the radio station that we don't know about yet. But the testimonies are going to come. There are probably people that have been delivered from AIDS and from drug addiction that we don't hear about yet, my brother and sister, because the word is going out. And the Bible says that He sent His word and He healed them. See, this word can heal you when you get down on the inside of it. It's marrow to your body and health to your bones. See, it's our spirit man engulfs it. It inflames it like we like to eat a Big Mac or a double with cheese or some of us that like to go eat crab legs, sister dinner, and just engulf ourselves and just eat and eat and eat. Our flesh likes to eat. We Pentecostals, we like to eat. We have to get together just so we can eat. We won't pray, but we'll have a get together just to eat. Moving right along. Hey, y'all know I'm telling the truth. Ain't nothing wrong with eating. We just need to fast too. Got to balance it out. We've had enough feasting. We got to do a little bit of fasting. Hey, I'm a truth man. Y'all know that about me. But nevertheless, it God's word. When Jesus said it, I'm sure Peter was like, good God Almighty. I'm sure he murmured under his breath. Come on now. Y'all know how us Christians are. We like to murmur. Lord, why are you having me do this? Why are you having me do that? I don't understand why I got to forgive this person. They did this to me, and they did that to me because God's Word said we need to forgive. See, it's easy to stay up here and do this and me to go home and get mad at one of my kids and have to forgive them. And go up and hug them anyway and say, Dad, sorry for throwing the remote at you and throwing the toolbox at you. I'm sorry, son. You'll just have to forgive me. Moving right along. Brother Sean, do you have a temper? Yes, I do. Thank God none of you have seen it. Just ask my kids. They'll tell on me. It's okay. Because it's all under the blood. But nevertheless, at God's Word. See, His Word is so powerful. The Bible says the worlds were formed by the Word of the Lord. But Brother Sean, what about the Scripture in Genesis and God spoke in His... Yeah, His Spirit did it. The Spirit and the Word are one. Thank you for the amen. God's Spirit and God's Word are one. Just like there's the Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father spoke it and God the Spirit did it. And God the Father sent His Son so that Jesus could save you and me. Jesus became the Word, the Bible says, that was made flesh and dwelt among men. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten. And it's important that we go back to beholding that glory and putting God's Word and Jesus Christ in the rightful place in our heart and in our life. Too many times we forget that God is holy and that His Word is precious and that His Word is powerful. It doesn't matter what circumstance you might be in, all it takes is one spoken word of God and that situation is going to change. Doesn't matter how long you've been waiting on that miracle, all it takes is for God to say, now is the time, and that miracle is going to manifest. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, because God is faithful, because God is true. He's more faithful to us than we are to Him. We struggle, we wrestle with the flesh, we get discouraged, because we haven't seen the thing that God has placed in our heart. We haven't seen that son saved or that daughter saved or that husband saved or our loved ones healed. But I'm telling you, nevertheless, at His Word, we can believe again. We can see God's manifestation again. We can see the glory of God again. We can see revival in America again. We can see America turn back to God again because God is faithful. God knows how to humble a nation. Just as He exalted a nation, He knows how to humble it. We're in the most economical downfall we've ever been in America. And it is a direct judgment of God, if you want to ask me. We are not going to prosper and kill 1 million babies a year. Thank you for the amen. And I don't mean to get a little bit political up here because I don't like mixing the two, but I just can't help it. We can't have God's blessing and go against God's Word at the same time. We got to have God's Word and we got to obey it. See, obedience is better than sacrifice. See, God would rather us obey it than sacrifice, fasting, and doing all the ritual, Christian rituals that we can do. He just wants us to obey His Word. No president's going to save us. Only God can. God exalts a king and He brings a king down. It's only God that can save America. We're the only nation that turns against our religion. We're known as a Christian nation. We are known as a Christian nation. You don't see Iran throwing away Islam and turning their back on Islam. We're the only nation that does that. You don't see Iran getting rid of the Book of Quran or trying to get their beliefs out of the country of Iran, but you see it in America. We want the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse and out of the valley. We don't even want to see the manger scene anymore. Because why? Because it does something to our conscience that lets us know that there is a right and there is a wrong, there is a good and there is evil, and we are born with it. We are born with faith to be saved. But you have a choice in the matter. Once you become of age, you have a choice. Bush became president. Bush is fixing to venture out. God's word is still true. Who are you voting for, Brother Sean? Don't know. Here's how I am. I'm not voting for the two of the lesser evils. Thank you for the amen. We got Christians today. Well, it's okay because I'm not voting for two of the less evils. If they support abortion, I'm not voting. I'll just stay at home and won't vote. That's just how I am. Y'all do what you want to, but I'm going to stay with what the Bible says to do. See, we need to take when we go to vote for America and vote for our president. We still have a God that we have to serve. We still have a God that we have to answer to. We still have the Word of God that we have to obey. And it's important that we obey what the Word of God says and that we follow the standards and the ordinances that this book has set and not the book of any man, woman, boy, or girl. If one woman can get prayer out of school, it's time that we, the church, take a stand for our King and for our Lord. And stand up for what's right, even if you stand alone. Because even if your friends forsake you, Christ will stand with you. Just ask the Apostle Paul. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's a friend that sticks closer than your mama or your daddy. He'll be there for you in the darkest, darkest of hours. God's done some great things for all of us in this room. And He's going to continue to do some great things. He's going to continue to do some things that just blow our socks off and frazzle our little finite minds. Because He's God, He can do that. The Word of God is called the Book of the Law, Nehemiah 8:3. It's called the Law of the Lord, Psalms 1:2. It's called the Scriptures, Romans 1:2. It's called the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12. It's called the Word, James 1:21-23. We are living in a day where we will do anything but what Paul told Timothy, and that is to preach the Word. He didn't say to have fundraisers. He didn't say to have anything else. He told Timothy to preach the Word. Because it's the Word that's going to change people. Not what I believe or what you believe, but the B-I-B-L-E. That's what's going to change you, and that's what's going to change me. See, the Word of God isn't going anywhere. I know people would like it to just go underneath a seat or a bench somewhere, but it isn't going anywhere. It isn't going anywhere. The Word of God is going to abide forever. It has got some things set in motion. When Israel became a nation, something happened. Prophecy took place. It set time in motion. It set events up to happen. And we are seeing events happening over and over and over again. God is real. God is true. All you got to do is look at the world around you. Look at everything that's happening. All the catastrophes. God is real. He's not going to be played with. He's no fool. You might fool your preacher, you might fool your pastor, but you're not going to fool your God. You might fool your parents, but you can't fool God. God has a book. And in that book, if you've been saved, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if not, your name's not in the book. There's going to come a day where He's going to look and see if our names are in the Book of Life. And if our name's not in the Book of Life, we're going to be cast into an eternal hell. That's what your Bible says. That's what the Word of God says. And it's important that our names be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you're listening to the sound of my voice and you're not saved, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the truth that if your name's not found in the book, you are not going to be saved. You have to repent of your sins. Salvation without repentance is no salvation according to the Word of God. See, we need to get back to the basics, which if basics, B-A-S-I-C, basics, we need to get back to the basics, Bible, altar. We need to get back to enthroning God. We need to get back to seclusion. Sanctification. Cleanliness. This word will cleanse you. When you read it, it's like a cleansing process. You don't even realize it's going on, but you're being cleansed. You're being cleansed because the Word of God is that powerful. You young people that are listening to the sound of my voice, you've got parents that pray for you. Drives you absolutely insane that they pray for you. There's things you wish they wouldn't pray over you, but guess what? When they pray them over you and it happens, you know that God is real. You know that God is true. You can't deny it. You can run and you can try to hide and you can kick against the pricks and not want to bow to this man called Jesus. But you're going to bow someday. If either you're going to bow now or you're going to bow when it's too late. Buddha's going to bow someday. It's going to bow on the judgment day and confess that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I would want to encourage you, young person, bow now, because it's not going to, you're not going to be, it's easier to bow now freely and willfully than it is later, because it's too late. God's word's descriptive of God's revealed plan in Romans 9:6. God's completed revelation in Colossians 1:25-27. Christ's message, Luke 5:1. The Christian gospel, Acts 4:31. The word of God's also described as pure, Psalms 19:8. Restraining, Psalms 119:11. The word of God is perfect, Psalms 119:7. The word of God is sure, Psalms 117:8. The word of God is truth, Psalms 119:140, verses 142, 151, and 160. The word of God, we can compare the word of God to a lamp, Psalms 119:105. We can compare it to fire, Jeremiah 5:14. We can compare it to a hammer, Jeremiah 23:29. We can compare it to the seed, Matthew 13:18-23. We can compare it to a sword, Ephesians 6:17. See, God's word is all these things. It's an agency to heal, Psalms 107:20. To make free, John 8:32. The Word of God illuminates, Psalm 119:130. The Word of God bears witness, John 20:31. The Word of God produces faith, Romans 10:17. The Word of God makes wise. All you kids that are struggling with your grades, read the Bible, it'll make you wiser. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. The Word of God exhorts, 2 Timothy 4:2. The Word of God will help you to rejoice in your heart when you're cast down, Jeremiah 15:16. The Word of God created the world, Hebrews 11:3. The Word of God regenerates the heart, James 1:18. The Word of God will destroy the world, 2 Peter 3:5-7. See, there's another part of the Word of God nobody wants to talk about. The Word of God not only created the world, but it's also going to destroy it with fire. Thank you for the amen. We want to talk about the good part of the Word of God, but we don't always like to go to the judgmental part of the Word of God. And see, you got to balance this thing out. God gave some good things, but He's also got some judgments that are going to take place if people don't get right with Him. When I was in sin, I couldn't do right. I couldn't keep money to save my life. I get paid on Thursday. Saturday, I was borrowing money from my mom and dad. Hey, mom and dad, I need to borrow $50 till payday. Can I borrow $50? Why? Because I went out and spent it all on things I shouldn't have spent it on. It was like the Bible says that you put your money in a bag with holes in it. Man, that's exactly what I was doing. I was taking my money and matter of fact, I had direct deposit when I was 17, 18 years old. I get paid on Wednesday. By Friday, it was gone. 2 days, it was gone. Gave my mom and dad the $25 they charged me for rent. That was cheap back then. I wish I could pay that now. I got $25 a week rent. That's $100 a month. Do the math. I'll pay that any day of the week right now. I had my clothes washed. I had food. So you young people that think y'all want to move out and get into the real world, go ahead. I've already told my kids, once you leave, you ain't coming back. Unless they really needed help, and I'd let them come back. I know I sound tough, but there's times I'm really, really soft. Times I'm really, really mean, too. Moving right along. See, we need to have a proper attitude toward the Word of God. And the proper attitude, we need to stand in awe. Psalms 119, 161. We need to tremble at Isaiah 66, verses 2 and 5. We need to speak faithfully, Jeremiah 23, 28. We need to search, Acts 17, 11. We need to speak the word of God boldly, Acts 4, 29, 31. We need to preach, Acts 8, 25. We need to receive, Acts 11, 1. That's probably the biggest problem we all have in this room is receiving God's word, receiving God's healing, receiving God's blessings. Because we go through life, we go through our daily life, and we stumble and we trip and we fall down, and we come to church and we don't think we're worthy because we stumbled, we tripped, and we fell down. But we are worthy not because of anything we've done, but because everything He did on that tree. That is exactly why we're worthy. We need to glorify, Acts 13, 48. We need to teach, Acts 18, 11. We need to obey, 1 Peter 3, 1. That's probably the most difficult to do. Besides handling it accurately, 2 Timothy 2, 15. We need to do, James 1, 22, 23. And we need to suffer for, Revelation 1, 9. We don't want to talk about that, though. We want to move along, don't we? We don't like to suffer for the Word of God. My store manager gives me the hardest time lately. And it's just because we have a pretty good relationship, and I've made some decisions. I don't know, while I'm here, while God's got me in this building, we got a pastor to take care of, we got a church to take care of, I got a family to take care of. So I made the decision while I'm here, I might as well go for assistant store manager. And you know, hey, I can be a store assistant store manager, me a Christian. I'm a produce manager and I'm a Christian. And I told my store manager, as long as it don't interfere with some duties and some things that I've got to do and some obligations, I don't have a problem with it. But the moment that happens, I'll just step back down to produce manager. Doesn't matter to me. I don't have to be. But if God wants to promote me to that so I can help take care of our pastor, this church, and my family, I'll receive it. I got no problem. But it ain't getting no better out there in the economy, so I got to do something. Gas is getting more and more expensive. And those kids are too. They eat too much. Especially that one with those curly things on his head back there. The Word of God in the believer's life. In the believer's life, it can be as a restraint, Psalms 119, 9 and 11. The Word of God can be a guide, Psalms 119, 133. It can be a source of joy, Psalms 119, verses 47, 97, and 162. It can be a standard of conduct, Titus 2, 5. It can be a source of new life, 1 Peter 1, 23. Spiritual food, 1 Peter 2, 2. We are living in a day where we need to take the Word of God and everything that I've just read you, we need to do. We need to stand in awe of God's Word. We need to eat God's Word. We need to take time and read God's Word. And as David did, meditate in the day and night. We need to engulf it like Job and let it just feed us more than food does if necessary. Our spiritual life depends on it. Your spiritual life depends on it. There are things God wants to do for you, but He can't do because we're not reverencing His Word. We're not standing in awe of His Word. We stand in awe of His presence, but it's not the same as standing in awe of His Word. It's easy to stand in awe of His presence, because we might get a tingling sensation, we might get a goosebump, or we might sense something. But it's another thing to just stand in awe of His Word when we feel nothing, and it looks like it's just pages on a book, and it's not. It's the actual Word of Almighty God that comes alive to you and me. When we read it, your minds will read it with this tenacity. God speaking directly to me right now. Put everything else aside. And when you read your Bible, that is God talking directly to you. You might not understand it. You might not remember everything. Guess what? You're not supposed to. That's the reason you have the Holy Ghost, my brother and sister, my dear sweet friend. He's the one that's going to bring those things back to your remembrance that you need. You don't have to remember anything other than what you learned in those little passages of Scripture, and that God loves you, and that God cares for you, and that He gave His Son for you, and that when you read the Bible, you're feeding your spiritual man. You're feeding the man on the inside. You've got a man that's on the outside, and you've got a man that's on the inside. And sometimes the man on the outside gets fed more so. And I'm talking about your spirit, man. I'm not talking about your belly. I'm not talking about your stomach that growls. I'm talking about your spirit, man, that needs sustenance, that needs food. And I'm not talking about some of the junk food that's on the television. I'm talking about the true, pure word of the Lord that what you need to read. Shut the television off. Turn off some of them frazzling false prophets that are on the television and read your Bible. Brother Sean, you shouldn't say that. Why? It's the honest to God's truth. Why should I be afraid to say it? God said it. I'm just going to line up with the Word of God. They were in Jeremiah's day and they're in your and my day, my brother and sister. They are crying peace when there is no peace. They are crying joy when it shouldn't be joyful. There's a time to joy and there's a time to mourn and there's a time to cry out and there's a time to repent and there's a time to speak out, my brother and sister. And there are things that are going on the television that shouldn't be. There are people talking about things that shouldn't be. I was channel surfing one morning and this guy comes on and says, I want to send you my handkerchief. You just need to send me $20. I wanted to pick up the telephone and call him. Why don't you go and get saved and repent and get on your knees and really seek God and really serve God. I don't need your handkerchief. I've got the word of the Lord. See, that's the type of tenacity that we need to have. I don't need anything that's coming from the television. I have the word of God. I have the word of the Lord. I have God's spirit living on the inside of me. I have what God has said to me right here in this book. I don't need that 20 sermon tape. I've got what God said to me right here. Take what you'd spend on that 20 sermon tape and tithe it to your church. Tithe it to your music ministry. Tithe it to your Sunday school department. Don't give it to them people. Here we got the false church giving stuff away and the quote unquote church charging for stuff. We got the Mormons on television giving stuff away. And we got people that call themselves Christians charging for that handkerchief, charging for that cassette for their love offering. Just charge me. So don't call it a love offering, just charge me. It's like going to a restaurant. We don't go to a restaurant and then say, for your love offering of $55 at Outback, you can have this meal. No, it doesn't work that way. For your $55 at Outback, you can have this meal and take your wife and have a good time. Yeah, I go to a restaurant, I know what I'm going to pay something. We don't have to pay nothing to receive God's healing. You don't charge for God's healing. It's a gift. It can happen. He sent His word and healed them. Spirit, soul, and body. See, God wants to get our soul man healed before anything else gets healed in and of ourselves. He wants to get the soul of a man or a woman, boy or girl, healed before He worries about the temporal body. What good is it to get a healing and still go to hell? He would rather have somebody's name in the Lamb's Book of Life and then heal them than to heal them and then bust hell wide open. It doesn't do any good to heal somebody and then still go to hell. But we don't honor God's word. When it comes time for we were singing, everybody's clapping, everybody's joyous, everybody's having a good old time. Now it comes from the time for God's word. Where's that Tic Tac? Oh, it's right here. Get that Tic Tac. Got that life set, honey? Can I have a piece of gum? We don't honor God's word. We don't stand in awe of it. Because if we stand in awe of it, we'd see some things change. If we reverenced it, we'd see some things change. The Lord said this, if I be a father, where is my honor? And there are times I don't think we honor the Lord like we should. I'm not saying this to beat anybody down, but there are times in my life I could honor the Lord just a little bit more. I could give Him just a little more of my time, a whole lot more of my time. But we don't honor God's word. We honor it's an amazing thing. You get older in life, and everybody in here has got their favorite news channel. Everybody in here has got their favorite news channel, whether it be 13, 10, 8, CNN, the web, whatever it is. So everybody's got their favorite news channel. And we get up in the morning, we click on the news. But we don't pick up this book first thing in the morning. We click on that television news, find out what's happened in the world. We pick up the newspaper. We pay to have the newspaper delivered to our house every day to read the bad news. And we won't pick up the good book and hear the good news of the day and what the good news has to say. The Bible is a good news book. It's got a lot of good news for you. If you're going through a valley and you need peace, God knows how to give you peace in that valley. It doesn't matter what the storm is without, He knows how to calm He knows how to calm the man or the woman on the inside that's all tore up. He knows how to speak peace to that storm. All hell can be breaking loose and you can just be at peace on the inside. All havoc can be taking place. Why? Because God spoke it. The lion hath roared. Hath God not said it? And will He not bring it to pass? See, when God says something, He always brings it to pass. When God promises you something, He always brings it to pass. So if God's promised you something, you need to get ready and you need to ask God, well then Lord, why haven't it come? It ain't on God's part. It always has to do with us temporal, fleshly human beings. We get them wrong attitudes with our bosses, or we get them wrong attitudes with our husbands or our wives. If you're a husband in here and you want to win your wife to Jesus, just love her like Christ loved the church. There is no defense against love. I can be mad as a hornet, but if my wife walks up to me and gives me a hug, it just melts me like butter. And vice versa. Melt y'all like butter too when somebody just loves you when you don't deserve it. It's exactly what Christ did. It's exactly what Jesus did when He died on the cross. He loved us when we didn't deserve it. He died for us when we didn't deserve it. God's Word should be our source of life. Should be our spiritual food. So I want to encourage you today to let God's Word be your spiritual food. I want to encourage you that those things that God placed in your heart to do for Him, and it might be something simple as sweep up the church or clean the church, I want you to let God speak to your heart and go let the net down again. That Sunday school department that God put in your heart to have, to be a thriving Sunday school department or a thriving youth group, God wants you to let those nets down again. That prayer life that you started out so good when you first got saved and it's kind of waned through the years and been hot and been cold, God wants you to stir up that prayer life again and let the net down again and see what He does for you and see what He does for me. Because we're living in a day where we need to take God at His Word and nevertheless at His Word pray again. Nevertheless at His Word go out and witness again. Nevertheless at His Word believe God to save our lost loved ones again. And nevertheless at His Word that every time we come meet in this place, God meets with us. So God doesn't owe me anything, Brother Sean. Yes, He does. Everything He said in this book, He owes you. Our problem is we got to line up with this book. That's our biggest problem. If we line up with that book, there's nothing that God won't do for you. It's us to get out of line. And we'll be walking, we'll be letting the Word of God be a lamp unto our feet, and oh, here comes discouragement. We go this way. Because we get discouraged because we didn't get our answer to prayer yet. Because something bad happened. I got fired from work. But guess what? God's Word's still true. Still a lamp to our feet. Oh, I got a bad report from the doctor. I put the Word of the Lord down for a little bit. It's still a lamp unto your feet. That's the one thing that can heal us is the Bible. God can heal you. God can heal you at home as you're reading the Bible. Don't have to heal you at church. He can heal you at home as you're reading His Word. Why? Because He's God. He don't have to have a man lay hands on you. He's God. He created you. He breathed life into you. If you go out, when you go home today, look at the clouds, look at the trees. That's everything God created. His handiwork. The Bible says the heavens declare His handiwork. And we're made after His image. So we serve a good God. We serve a good God. And we need to let the nets down again. And there's nets in your own personal life that you need to let down again. And I don't know what those nets are, but you and God knows what those nets are. It don't matter what the net is. It don't matter what type of situation it is. You might think you're crazy. God don't want me to do that. Oh, yes, He does. He have you do some crazy things. He's God. He wants to bless you. I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of good and not an evil, to give you an expected end, the Bible says. We're not dealing with somebody who doesn't care for us. He sent His Son to die for us. Our biggest problem is He wants us to line up with His Word and obey it. And to walk it out. He wants us to put this Word to feet. And that's the hardest thing for Christians, is to walk this out. To forgive when we need to forgive. To love the unlovable when we're supposed to love the unlovable. To go out and to feed the homeless and clothe the naked. To have pure and undefiled religion. See, that's a hard thing for us to do. It's an easy thing to dance. It's an easy thing to shout in tongues. And there's nothing wrong with any of these things. But we've got to walk this Word out. Would you please stand? We have a history of starting and stopping and 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 starting and stopping. And am I getting my point across? And God wants us to just do it. We all are held accountable. Everyone in this room, to whom much is given, much is required. We all know the Bible. We all know what the Bible says. Some of you probably know it better than I do. We are all held accountable. There's no escape. There is no, it's Brother Mike's fault, or it's Brother Sean's fault, or it's Brother Terry's fault, or it's the pastor's fault. We're all guilty. But this message ain't to get us down. It's to encourage us to let the nets down again. It's to encourage us to pray again. It's to encourage us to believe again for God to heal. It's to encourage for God to manifest Himself to us. Why? Because we do go through times and valleys of discouragement. We do pray for things and don't see Him, and we do get discouraged and give up. But God doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to keep on praying, knock and keep on knocking, ask and keep on asking. Those of you that keep on believing for your loved ones, keep on believing for Him. Those that keep believing for your kids to get healed and to your kids to get saved, to keep on believing. Why? Because God hasn't forgotten about us. God knows exactly what we need. I would love nothing more than to see Marilyn's daughter come in here healed, walking and talking. I would love nothing more to see that. I don't understand why it hasn't happened yet, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Why? Because I believe God can heal her whole, completely. I don't care how long she's been in there. It doesn't matter to me. Because why? Because He's God. He can do that. He can do whatever we need Him to do. We just sometimes need to get out of the way and let Him do it. If you need a new heart, He can give you a new heart. You need a new neck, He can give you a new neck. You need a new knee, He can give you a new knee. Why? Because He's God. He made us after all. It's Him that made us in His image. God can do what He wants to do because He's God. We just need to learn to praise Him when He's doing stuff and when He's not doing stuff. Boy, we all praise Him real good when He's moving, when He's touching, when He's answering prayer. Ain't none one of us in here that don't come in here, glory be to God. You know what the Lord did for me this week? And then as soon as we go through a trial, we come in here. How you doing today? Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm fine. Y'all laughing because y'all know it's the truth. We go through a little trial and where our praise goes from glory, glory to hallelujah. And it should be continuous because we serve a good God. And hey, I'm just as guilty. I'm just as guilty. I'm right along in here with y'all. I'm not up here to condemn or point the finger. I'm just a messenger. I was studying this morning. I got up at 4 o'clock this morning, and some of you say that's crazy, Brother Sean. But I worked 15 hours yesterday. It's kind of hard for me to go home after working 15 hours and put everything aside and eat dinner with the family and then drive all the way down here. And so I said, I'm just going to stay home and put some worship music on and get up early in the morning and head down to the church. And so that's what I did. I came down here and got along with Jesus and got my mind fresh. I woke up, and I tell you what, God has always, always come through. Because I honor His Word. And I take His Word seriously. And there are times I take His Word to heart. My wife sometimes gets mad at me because I'll have a headache and won't take an aspirin because I'm just believing for God to touch a headache. And there are times I'll take an aspirin. It just depends on the situation. It just depends where I'm at. If I've been in the Word and I've honored His Word and I've got my faith built up, I'm going to believe God because He's God. Not that you got to have your faith built up, because you can feel like you're drugged through a knothole backwards and God can touch you and you can be healed. You can feel like you're a wet noodle and God can just speak to you and the circumstances and the situation change because He's God. Brother Doug, give us some worship. I want you to just worship the Lord. I want you to worship Him for His Word. I want you to ask Him to help. I'm not going to pray for anybody unless somebody comes forward and asks for prayer. But this is an individual thing with honoring His Word in a corporate thing.